Darkness falls across the land. Death's saucy picks are close at hand. Camps goes running to raise the good, to terrorize your neighborhood. And who shall ever be found with riches syndicated sound must decide whether to give a heck and talk about the week in tech. It's the Big Show. Did it work?
That deserves a round of applause.
That was excellent.
Did it work?
Well done.
You've had a busy day.
I was going to say, if I was your employer, I'd be seriously questioning what you were doing over the day. But that was very good. That was excellent.
Oh, it just came to me. My wife said that there are a few amendments. Jeff's saucy picks were inappropriate at the time, and the wife went, "Well, people may read inappropriate, but being a bit different, so it became saucy." And we went on a Camps one and Rich's one, but there you go, in one take.
It's
the Big Show. Right. It's Halloween. We are spooky. I'm not touching the Google Hangouts this week because it can barely switch for itself. Because I had a freaking nightmare last time. So first up, look out. Is it Bruce Willis? It's not. It's Camps. How are you doing, mate?
Bruce Willis. I'm good.
Oh, been away. Make me feel guilty.
Yeah, I was away last week. Yes, 2 weeks ago. So my total internet totally crapped out 2.5 days. I was running at about 0.3 of a meg. So sorry for dropping you on that last show. And then I was on holiday last week in Disneyland Paris.
Yeah, we both know it well, don't we?
Yeah, apologies for having to send you a Star Wars pick just as I'm sort of near the front of the
game. Yeah, I've got another 5 months to wait till I get to go. Is it good though? Is the Star Wars stuff good?
We missed Jedi Academy. The timing just didn't work for us. With meal times with two young kids, Star Wars has had a bit of a facelift, and it's got different animations going on in there. So that was really good. Enjoyed it.
Space Mountain. What is Space Mountain now?
Hyperspace Mountain, as it's been renamed. Yeah. That's the only big ride that I didn't get on. But we did Big Thunder Mountain. We did the Ratatouille ride that I didn't get to go on that last time. So I went on Ratatouille, I think, 3 or 4 times. That's awesome. Oh. So 3D, some serious carts driving you around the set. The set's amazing, but yeah. Make sure you do it when you go.
We'll compare notes in half term in Easter. Absolutely. Next up, hopefully, the space-time continuum is still intact. Because it's first time, the same time in like less than a month that I host and Rich doesn't. Richard?
Yeah.
Are we okay?
Yeah.
Are we good?
It's all good. Super Mario Odyssey Day. Nothing bad can happen today.
Well, exactly. Paul. Have you actually done anything else? Did you just like? Did it arrive today?
Yeah, it arrived today. I pre-ordered it in April, so it damn well better have come today. Because if it wasn't, I was going down Amazon and having a word.
Well, you said to me, all you'll see is the back of a Switch. You're not playing right now, are you?
I'm being very good. It's right there.
Careful.
It's just there. I'm not playing it.
You're going to join it for a show.
Yeah, I'm going to do a show, and I don't want to talk about it. It's my cool thing later.
Okay, we'll do that.
So, yeah.
And just shouting through the office, if you were here for the pre-show, just saying sexy things from my wife to the man that is Jeffrey Gamet. What would a Big Show be without Jeffrey Gamet?
Probably smoother and family friendly.
We don't want that, though.
Oh, well then, here I am.
You've been all right.
I have been all right. I missed last week. I was in Seattle.
You've been out and about. As Jeff says, I take pictures of things.
Yes. And I went to Seattle last week and went and saw the Jim Henson exhibit at the Museum of Pop Art or Pop Culture. And, Kermit the Frog and Grover and Cookie Monster and Bert and Ernie.
They look so amazing. Was it weird just to be like in the presence of like legends?
It was. And it almost felt like I needed to ask the Muppets permission to take their photos.
I think I saw it. I was like, that is like, I've done like the Harry Potter tours over here and all that sort of stuff. But that's the sort of tour that I'd really, really get into, because that's like, you know, Harry Potter with my daughter, she loves it. And it's kind of a new thing, but that is my childhood wrapped up.
Yep. Yeah, it was really cool. It was a lot of fun to get to see these Muppets that had actually been used in production in real life. Oh,
my wife would love to get a hand up at you. Anyway, carry on.
Maybe we could all get together and we could play Muppets.
We have plans. We have plans. So anyway, was there any technology news this week? I rely on my three tech gurus to give me technology news. Who's the first in the chat room? Oh, it's Cambion. He was ages ago.
Oh, I have to pick a new story.
Come on, Camps.
Okay.
Amazon newest service. Oh yes. Yeah. This is the creepy Amazon thing, isn't it?
Yeah, the Amazon juggernaut continues.
Oh God.
Amazon have it's been rumored for a couple of weeks now, but I think it's over the sort of the last day or so it's been formally announced. That as of November the 8th, Amazon will be launching the Amazon Key. So for those who don't know, the Amazon Key is a bit of a combination of a service with two separate devices. There's the Cloud Cam, and there's the compatible smart lock for it. So this is for Prime. So this is aimed at Prime subscribers. So for $249, you can get the bundle, which is the cam and the lock. The lock attaches to your front door. The cam probably goes in your hallway or in the room that faces onto the front door. The idea being that you can you buy your Amazon product, and you're out when the delivery driver arrives. You're all signed up and subscribed to the service. The driver rocks up to your door, scans the barcode. It validates that driver is in the right place, the right address and everything, and then Amazon unlock your front door so the driver can stick his head in, drop your parcel inside your hallway, the camera obviously catching him and filming it all while he's doing it, and then as he walks out, the driver switches, flicks a little switch on his notepad, and that relocks your door, and off he goes. You get a nice little email with a video clip so you can see what's going on, and driver goes away and you've got your parcel delivered.
So do we see no problem with this?
So
it's going to be a great set of videos of dogs humping delivery, man.
You know, I read the FAQs for the service, and there are a couple things that stood out. One was, if you have a pet that can get to the front door, then you probably shouldn't use this service. And the other one was, if you have an alarm system on your house, what we're doing won't interface with that. So you need to disable your alarm system on the day that we're coming so that we won't set it off. If you're not comfortable with that, maybe you shouldn't use this service. And all I'm picturing now are case after case where a delivery person swipes the little thing on their screen, the door unlocks, they open the door, the alarm goes off, and the dog lunges out and attacks them.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. This is a US court case fiesta, this, just lining it all up.
Well, one of the things I heard on a podcast earlier today is, are kind of nefarious people going to like track Amazon delivery drivers, you know, because all you got to do is like bash one on the head and you've got access to the house.
Yeah. But if you're going to assault someone to the point of unconsciousness, you're going to break into a house.
Very true.
Yeah, that level of concern is, I think, totally misplaced, because you nailed it. If they went in that bad, they're not waiting for some Amazon driver. They're going to go to the back door and take a rock and smash out the window so they can open the door and come in and steal what they want.
Yeah.
In fact, I think that kind of worry perpetuates the myth that you're house is in some way secure.
Yeah.
Your
house is surrounded by keys anyone can use. They're called rocks.
Yeah absolutely. It's secure enough to keep polite, nice people out, they're fine.
It helps keep honest people honest.
Yeah, but anyone who wants in is coming in, regardless of who made you lock.
But, like, the one thing I like about Amazon is the lockers, the Amazon lockers. So, you know, you obviously order something, and then you punch in a code or scan a barcode or whatever, and your thing is there. And they're all over where I live, and I live in Norwich, and it's not a... You know, it's not a technologically advanced place to live, but we have those, and I find them very useful. Would a box at the front of the house as secure be better than letting them into your house?
Absolutely would.
Because then, Jeff would probably be the only one to convince me, because obviously, of being in the States. Don't you have that for certain things, for like, you know, cold food deliveries and that sort of stuff? Aren't there boxes that have outside the house, the apartments that have that sort of thing now?
Yeah, you can get stuff like that. And like outside my building right now, someone has a big cooler, you know, like you would take to the beach and load up with beer or body parts if you're a serial killer. and it's just sitting out on the porch so that they can get whatever they get delivered. I've never looked in for... I don't know if they're getting milk or meat or produce or what.
Arms,
eyeballs. I mean, maybe they're black market organ dealers. I don't know. But yes, you can get stuff like that. The thing is, in areas where you're likely to have your packages stolen off your doorstep, these boxes typically are not locked. So there's nothing that would stop anyone from getting into them.
That's interesting. So they're locked by a code, or in the same way that this Amazon key works, the boxes are pretty much, if you want to steal it, you can just get your hands on it.
Exactly. The Amazon lockers, like we have them in places like Whole Foods, it's a grocery store. I think that's a much better way to go, because it's a place where everything is locked. And when you go in to get something, it's right there at the front of the store. The store security cameras are running. You have staff, you have shoppers. There's all kinds of witnesses. It seems like a much safer way to do this if you're concerned that packages are going to be stolen off your porch.
Yeah, and that's the other thing about
I'm worried about. Obviously, this is all internet. It's going to be all internet and cloud based and cloud driven. What happens on the day that the Amazon guy opens your door, legit, drops your parcel off, closes the door, and either forgets to swipe?
He doesn't have to swipe to relock.
Say again, sorry, Jeff.
He doesn't have to swipe to relock. He can. Oh, right, but if he walks away from the door, it's going to auto-lock pretty quickly.
What happens when your internet drops for some reason and it doesn't do that?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
And where does it stand? Are Amazon gonna? So if something happens, I know at launch Amazon is saying that they're only trusting the Amazon logistics drivers, not the third party drivers, to pick this up. So I think in the US it's about 37, I think it was, cities at launch. It'll probably expand across the globe in time. But what happens when something does go bad? Because I'm sure Amazon aren't going to cover you. I'm sure your home insurance at that point will probably say, sorry, you've signed over access to your house to a third party. You're not protecting your property, so we're not going to cover you either. Where do you stand then?
Well, now you're kind of screwed, aren't you?
Mm. Well, I suppose that at the end of the day, how does that, you know, because is that kind of thing that if you sell any sort of insurance, you kind of say, you know, health insurance, whatever, you say, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do this, don't do that. I don't allow my house to be opened by people I don't know.
So for me,
how do you cover that?
All right, this is where for me it all falls down. And like you said, there's the Amazon lockers that work well. I know that the street I live on, I'm quite lucky. It's a cul-de-sac, and down the end of the street there's six pensioners' bungalows, all of the old folk who live in those are pretty much home the majority of the time, and they're great. And I've got two of them set up as my my safe place. So if I'm not home, one of those five will be in, and the two that are sort of adjacent to my house, one of them's guaranteed to be in. They'll take the parcel, so I never miss an Amazon delivery. Sometimes, to be totally honest, the driver just goes straight there if he doesn't see my car outside. I would absolutely rather have that 100% of the time than allowing a driver access to my house.
I totally agree. The elderly are the best kind of Amazon recipients in the world. I like you, Cabs. I live at the end of the cul-de-sac. Everyone ran me as 80 plus. And they're like, yeah, we'll take Paul's parcels in. Absolutely fine. And when I was waiting for my iPhone 7 Plus, they're like, yeah, we'll take it. No problem. And that's brilliant. But if you live in, like you say, in the States, if you live in an apartment block, it's a lot more difficult to do. We don't live in this kind of built-up kind of area, do we?
I'm the person on our street that steals everybody's Amazon parcels, so I'm all right.
Well, you're home every day. That's what you do. That's no, you.
That's the solution to the problem. Don't go anywhere, people. Stay home. And problem solved.
You're the guy who's on the street. What? You're the guy on the street stalking Amazon drivers with a bat, waiting for him to open people's doors.
No, I'll take it. No, it's fine. No, I haven't got a key for his house. I'll take it, though. It's all right.
Richard, the phantom thief of Haworth.
Yeah, it's good fun.
what's your best thief?
Oh, next door's model helicopter, which I played with in the street in front of his house for a little bit. Is it like, no, it's not. No, nothing's come to my house. Shut up. This is my helicopter.
And Jeff, has been any reports over there? I know it's early days, but any reports of sort of hack site type situations on the devices?
Well, okay, so the devices that we're talking about here for Amazon Key, these are smart locks that have already been commercially available. So it's not like Amazon is using some proprietary networkable lock system. And it's been a big thing over here, at least it was earlier in the year and late last year, where there were people that were showing how easy it was to hack these smart locks, and they were doing it through Bluetooth. So, you know, they just have a little app on their laptop or their smartphone and use it to go through the Bluetooth and trick the lock into opening. Now, lock makers have been working to make sure that doesn't happen anymore, but come on, they should have done that from the beginning. You know, this is a security thing. So there's the issue right there. How safe are these locks anyhow? Because people have already been hacking them. And I'm sure these are much safer than the ones that were coming out on the market last year. And that's good. But you know, the bottom line is, do you really feel comfortable trusting Amazon with the keys to your house?
And what Amazon have now got with this is they've got some ears in your house. I'm going old tinfoil hat for a second here.
They already had that because we've been buying Echoes left and right.
Exactly. So they've got ears. They've got ears in your house now. If you've got a show, they've got eyes in your living room, and now they've got a camera on your front door so they can see when you come and go as well.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
Absolutely.
I have no faith in this whatsoever. I really don't.
You're paying $250 for the.
Oh yeah, because of the price, isn't there? It's quite expensive.
Yeah, there's $250 as well to set this up.
Now, the place where I see this as really useful is if you live in an area, and there's a lot of areas here in the United States where if you have an Amazon package dropped on your porch, you'll probably never see it because it's just going to get stolen. In places like that, maybe it's worth it because at least you have a little bit of a fighting chance of getting your packages. But then the other thing is, let's say that your front door is like a porch. So it would be akin to an airlock. So you have the front door, but then there's a second door behind that one, like a mudroom area. And that one is locked as well. you could put this on that outer door, keep the inner door locked, and now you have this isolated area, this sandboxed area in your house where UPS can drop the packages and they don't have access to any other part of your house.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the thing that I thought, you know, a secure area is easier, isn't it? Because it must be a thing in the States and a thing in the UK now. It's like, you know, if I'm not in, I'll leave the back gate open. You can put it in my shed and that sort of thing. And only you're going to know that, because I know who my delivery drivers are. Generally the same people. I trust them not to nick my stuff and all that sort of thing. But yeah, you pretty much would think that. I don't know. I get the same thing if I order from Next, if I order from Very, if I order from Amazon. I generally get the same guy. Do you have the same experience there, or do you get any person?
There are a handful of drivers that I recognize because they have their routes.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's like two or three drivers that I see consistently. And actually, same thing with our postal service. I see the same two or three people all the time.
Yeah. And you generally do, don't you? Because, yeah, my delivery driver always turns on. Here he is. He knows who I am. He knows that if I'm not in, where to put it or which neighbors to put it in. This is a really fine line with the Amazon thing, isn't it? It's letting people into your house. And I don't know with Amazon if that's going to be the same person every time.
Probably not.
No,
but I'm just guessing. You know, my neighbors have it really good because I work from home, so I'm here a lot, and so if I go out like to walk to the coffee shop and get a drink and then come back, and there's packages outside, I bring them in and put them in my place, and then text my neighbors and say, "You got packages." And they're waiting for you, and they love it because they know their Amazon deliveries aren't getting stolen anymore.
Well, exactly, yeah. And that's what I get from the retired here as well. You know,
yeah. Same
here. They, when I was waiting for my new iPhone, I came home waiting for the. I thought it was going to be home at lunchtime, and my neighbor's outside. And he went, "Okay, yep. Yeah, if it comes, I'll put it through the door or whatever, and I'll wait for you to come home." And that's the sort of great thing, but we didn't all have that. I suppose it'd be better for the prevalence of Amazon lockers to be in more places, because it's interesting. One of the places we don't have Amazon lockers, as you know, I work at university. The one thing we don't have is an Amazon locker.
That's nuts when you think of how many people are on that campus.
Oh, there's 25,000 people that anyone's on.
Yeah, it makes absolute perfect sense to have a couple of lockers about the campus, just from the point of view of bring all that student money.
Well, the thing is, we got an email last Christmas, and it was kind of along the lines of, "Yes, we know you get stuff delivered to work, and can you please not use our post room to process your deliveries because students want their stuff? But you stick an Amazon locker in there, it would solve a hell of a lot of problems in any business. If it was, you know, obviously the big business area." Aviva, Norwich Union, all those sort of things. If all major companies had like an Amazon locker in their foyer, it'd be great for all staff, wouldn't it? It'd be amazing. You could say, "I can get it delivered to work," and I think that would be great for everyone. Because the problem with deliveries is the fact that you generally, if you're not lucky enough to work from home, you work 9 to 5 somewhere else, you're not going to be there to accept them.
You need to drop Jeff an email telling him, setting him straight.
There you go. You know, I actually pay for a mail drop box at the UPS store that's near me. And I just use that as my mailing address for everything. So I don't get packages at my place ever, and most of my mail doesn't even come to my place. And for me, that's just been easier. I don't have to worry about being home. It doesn't matter if I'm traveling. My stuff gets delivered. There's someone to sign for it, and it's in a locked area.
So you're able to take all of your neighbors' packages in, but you're not about for your own.
But not my own. I know there's some irony there. Yep.
So Straw poll, do we agree with letting Amazon in or not letting Amazon in? Chris?
No way. No way.
No way. Rich? Well, Rich is home. Or he's in
Paisley wouldn't like it.
No, he wouldn't.
I can tell you that much. No.
And Jeff?
Even though I have two Amazon Echo Dots in my place, so Amazon can monitor everything I do all the time anyhow, no, I'm not ready to put a lock on the door that they can open.
No, I don't think the technology and the... I think this is a... If they advertise it on TV, I can imagine people just look at it and going, everyone just going, no. You know, we do it from a perspective of we're all geeks and we follow the tech news and we understand that, but imagine saying this to a normal. They're going to freak out, aren't they? They're gonna, there's no way. Or are they going to say no way? Are they going to go, actually, if I order something that gets delivered because they don't know the risk, are they just going to go for it? That's the interesting question.
Amazon must have done some research into this. They must have had focus groups. I know that they're not scared of throwing some cash at an initiative, and they're not scared of failing on stuff like we've seen with things like Fire Phone and stuff. But yeah, they've got to have done some research into this, surely.
Well, not where I live, not where any of us live, by the sounds of it. And if they get rich, it's going to get mauled by Paisley.
Yep.
Quite literally. You're going to have parts of Amazon drivers littered all over the brilliant street.
No, I just play over enthusiastically. It would be fine. It'd be fine. Don't worry.
Look, has anyone got anything to not make me feel so paranoid for a news story?
Sure. I can give you a not so paranoid thing now.
Oh, Jeffrey.
Ooh, all right, okay. But it's still an Amazon story.
Oh, okay. It's the Amazon show. We can do this.
All right.
Amazon says studio executive Joe Lewis resigns.
Yeah, so he's been very successful for Amazon because he's the guy that's helped make a lot of the original drama and comedy content that they have come together. And so what the other part of this story that we don't get from Reuters is that apparently Apple has hired him.
Ah. And this is the big thing now. This is that big thing where we're talking about which companies are spending what on original content now, aren't we?
Yeah. And when I see stuff like this happening and the follow-up report that he's actually working for Apple Music now, but what it tells me is that the money that Apple is investing into their entertainment business this year first is coming at Amazon's expense and other big companies, because you know we've had Sony executives that have come over to Apple and some others too, but I'm just not thinking of them off the top of my head. So Apple's investment this year is get the talent that can make Apple have powerhouse shows and do it at the expense of their competitors.
So my question to you, and obviously because you obviously your living is Apple, do you think Apple can be as edgy as some of the other studios have been with the content they have? Because there's this rumor of the Amazing Stories, Steven Spielberg and all that sort of stuff. You know, the first thing I'm going to do when I walk out of here tonight is start watching the Stranger Things.
Oh, that's yes.
Mine. Yep.
Absolutely. You know, my wife's like, hurry up, do a quick show, do Stranger Things. Rewatch the entire season one this week leading up to it.
Make sure you eat waffles while you do.
Oh, of course. Yes. Well, the Eggos.
Eggos.
Yep. Eggos. Yes. Eggos are. Get me Eggos in. Because sorry, it's gone.
Sorry, I think I have to jump in and disappoint you straight away. No, they're not going to be edgy at all.
I agree.
I'm looking at another article here on Ars Technica. Apple's $1 billion TV lineup will be family friendly, not Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
They want stuff they can leave playing on the TV in an Apple store.
Yeah, there's rumor that that's why Apple Karaoke was delayed so long, because Tim Cook personally asked for all of the swearing and anything that could
in
any way controversial, wanted it editing out, which delayed the launch of Apple Karaoke.
Now, see, what I'm hoping, well, I think you're right. We're not going to see really, really graphic, edgy content coming from Apple. That doesn't mean we can't see really good content coming from Apple.
Oh, no, not at all. No, you're right.
So what I'm hoping is that now that we've got these executives coming on board, because remember, Carpool Karaoke happened before Apple was bringing on these top-level people. That was a show that Apple was elbow deep in all by themselves. So Tim Cook was in a position where he could very easily have a big say in the actual content in those episodes. Now that Apple's hiring the people that this is their job, they know their shit, and they're the people that have given us what a lot of people are now calling the golden age of television. So Tim Cook's a very smart man, and what I can see is that now that they have the right people in place, Tim will step back and let them do their job and make Apple Music a big contender with original content, you know, so they can go up against Amazon Prime, they can go up against Netflix, and they can go up against HBO. But maybe not so edgy.
But you really have to be a top Hollywood executive to know that Planet of the Apps was a shit idea.
It was bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem. It's like
Planet of the Apps is pretty disappointing. Yep.
It's like not only have they just not made House of Cards, which is a pretty high bar to beat. It's like you didn't even, I mean, come on. They've just made awful, awful stuff. They could have given a fraction of the money they've spent on Planet of the Apps and Carpool Karaoke, given it to any number of YouTubers and just gotten something that was well worth watching back in return.
Yeah, but I think the key point is that they've got something off the ground, but now they're bringing in the people to steer that ship in the right direction.
Yeah,
but Apple are spending $1 billion, Netflix spent $8 billion.
Well, if you look at what Netflix and what Amazon spent when they started down this same path, Apple's spending the same amount that they did. You don't dump $10 billion in on year one, because then you've just pissed away $10 billion. What you do is you start with $1 billion, and you get your team in place, and you go in lean and focused, and then once you're in and things are starting to gel, then you know where to invest more money.
But Netflix are now saying that they're aiming at half their content being original now, aren't they? They're not relying on the studios now, which is not a thing that Apple will ever go down. Amazon do it to a degree by having studio content in there, but the content that comes out of Netflix, and I don't watch it all. Stranger Things, yes, amazing. House of Cards, never got into. My wife watches a lot of, you know, the fact we get the new Star Trek on Netflix in this country. What you want to say about the new Star Trek, good or bad? I'm enjoying it. It's on Netflix. I buy my £8.
I would love to see that show.
Yeah, it's part of my £8 a month. And a question I asked my daughter, I say to her, because it's an app on my TV, I say, what's your favorite channel? She'll say YouTube. But her next favorite channel is Netflix. As easy as a channel, you got all this free-to-air stuff and, you know, all the live stuff and all the things that goes, but they see Netflix as a channel that they can just jump into and see the things they want. And she's been on half term this week, and she's been loving all of our TV shows, and it's on demand, and it's there's two bills I don't begrudge paying. I don't begrudge paying my internet bill because it gives me so much. I don't begrudge paying my Netflix bill because it gives me so much. Because there's crap all on TV. You press the Netflix button, and there's something on. You know, it's amazing, and I don't know how Apple gets into that, because the app's already my TV. My TV has the app for Netflix, Prime Video, Now TV over here for the Sky stuff. It's all there. But they're trying to sell that little Apple TV box, aren't they? That's what they're trying to do.
Sure. Yeah, they want to sell Apple TV boxes. They want to sell Apple Music subscriptions, because Apple, in addition to being a hardware company, is now a services company. Mm-hmm. And if they can sell you on both sides, well, that's a win for Apple all the way around.
But they can't call it Apple Music anymore, can they? It's sure. Apple Entertainment, hasn't it, or something like that?
They can call it whatever they want. I mean, it's still called iTunes, and that seems like the most inappropriate name for what it is. Mm. But yeah, so my guess, based on the original content we've seen so far, where it says Apple Music and then you see a TV show, I think they're going to keep that name for a while, just for branding recognition.
But then, didn't iTunes just drop with the latest update? They dropped apps from iTunes, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they pulled the App Store out of the iTunes app, and there's a couple other changes that relate to that to a degree. But if you go, there's a place on Apple's website where you can download, it's iTunes 12.6.3, I believe. So it's 1 point beyond the last iTunes 12.6 thing that they had. And it's everything plus the App Store.
Oh, it's back.
It's, well, what they quietly did this. They forked it. So when they released the new iTunes that we have, they had this other one that they quietly released, because there's all these companies, you know, big businesses, enterprise level businesses, that have their own apps that they have to deliver out to their users. And so they need something that lets them do that. And you have to have access to the App Store for that. So that this other version is there. You can go and download it, and you can use it. You won't get notices of future iTunes updates, but whatever, you've got the version you want. So I'm pretty sure it's 12.6.3 is that version.
That's handy to know. So who do we think? Obviously, Amazon, there's been a little bit of a kind of debate on whether the original content is kind of going anywhere. Netflix saying that half their content is going to be original content plus, because they're going to lose Disney stuff and all that sort of things sooner rather than later. Can Apple compete in this market? Or is it just like a Amazon Prime thing where it's kind of like it's a bundle on top of? Because that's the other good question I want to ask. Because you've got Amazon Prime, where you get deliveries, which Apple don't do. You get music, you get video, you get audio books and that sort of thing. What stops Apple from having a service as like your iCloud storage, your TV shows, your Apple Music, that sort of thing? Surely that would be a better sell for them.
It's certainly something they could do.
They can switch that on at any point, but at this moment in time, they're making plenty of money out of keeping them separate, and nobody that I'm hearing moans about having a separate subscription for their iCloud storage and paying Apple Music separately. And then there's a bunch of people out there who do iTunes Match and pay for that separately as well. And
as soon as they amalgamated it, somebody would be moaning about the fact that they don't use that thing, so why should they have to pay for that thing and all that stuff?
They're probably a Prime subscriber, and they didn't realize all the services that come with that either. So,
I've met a lot of people that are pretty savvy that had no idea that their Prime subscription included all of that streaming content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. I've had the same thing. I've had people going, "Oh, I'd like something like Spotify." It's like, you've got Amazon Music Unlimited.
Yeah,
it's in there
for me. I pay my £80 a year to Amazon, and for that, I pay for, in my head, I pay for Prime. I pay for Amazon Video, and I get my music, and I get free delivery, and I don't even think about it from the delivery point of view. That's not where in my mind I'm paying my money. It's something I just get as part of it. The TV content alone is worth £80 a year for me.
Yeah, you have that thing called children.
Yeah,
and it's like I can order something and it turns up on a Sunday, and I'm also ultra lucky because I only pay $39.99 a year for Amazon. Because the wonder of a .ac.uk email address. It's magic. My daughter bought a stylus for her iPad. It was, you know, it's got different nibs and all that sort of stuff on it. And it's going to arrive tomorrow. I ordered today. It comes tomorrow. It's amazing.
And my panic yesterday, having just come back from holiday, my daughter's on a, she's in Rainbows, and they're doing a, like a Rainbow sleepover type thing tonight. So we arrived back on holiday Tuesday night. It was yesterday when my wife said, where's the sleeping bag? I don't know. I've not seen it since we moved house. I can't. So yesterday went in the loft, went in the garage. Could I find it? So straight on Amazon, ordered it. It arrived. I ordered it about 11 o'clock ish. I think it was yesterday morning. It arrived at 7 o'clock last night.
Yeah.
See, that's just amazing.
Save me running around looking for it. It was there. And to be totally honest, it was probably cheaper than if I'd have gone running around looking for one as well.
Yeah. No, thing is that is the way that the world works now. That kind of next day, same day delivery thing is what people want, because that is the destroyer of high streets, because you haven't got to go to town. I had the same experience today. I've got right next to me here a brand new fridge freezer with a drink suspenser, which I haven't filled with vodka yet, but I will. Ordered last night. Delivered by 1 o'clock this afternoon by AO. You know, they just sent a message saying, yep, be here by 1 o'clock, yep, done. And you want that, because I knew I'd be off today for half day, and I could just say, yep, deliver it after 1 o'clock. They're like, yep, no worries. Obviously, going back to the original subject of the content and stuff, Amazon have probably slipped behind on the original content, I think we'll agree. I think Man in the High Castle, Transparent, they were really good shows. They've not really done much else since. I think more's come out on Netflix. You know, there's a huge buzz around Stranger Things right now, which there should be, because it's a great show. The Marvel shows are great. They're yet to do the deals, I think, for that sort of content. But everything else that Amazon do is bloody amazing.
You know, I think for Amazon right now, it seems like they're behind Netflix on the TV show front, because they've been doing more with big screen movies.
Yeah.
So I think that they're kind of in this transition phase where they're figuring out how to balance their small screen versus big screen content.
But they're also in that boat where it's kind of like the Apple Music versus Spotify, where original content from Amazon isn't their core business. They're a delivery company at the end of the day. It's a perk of having Prime. Mm-hmm. They're not going to go under if Prime Video fails. Netflix would go under if On Demand Video failed. Apple Music wouldn't go under if Apple Music failed. So it's a punt for them. They can take that risk. And I think at the end of the day, that's what the other companies are doing. They're trying to mop up the market from these smaller companies, Spotify, Netflix, Hulu, whatever. And if it doesn't work for them, they've not lost that much. You know, they've got the money to invest in it. But these companies, like I say, the Netflix and all that sort of thing, if they only do streaming media, they've got to stay on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If Netflix didn't have their original content, which is probably the main reason I've stayed with Netflix, actually, the documentaries on there, you know, I say Stranger Things, all the sort of things they do, you know, when I log into Netflix, it's all their original content on there. And I'm really interested in it. You know, it's different stuff. And that keeps me hooked. But if they lost that business, they'd be gone.
Well, Netflix, they have a lot of incentive to be on their top game with original content all the time, because this is all they have. They are a streaming content company, period. Whereas Amazon, Apple, they have these other revenue avenues, and this just kind of becomes part of what they do. It's not the core of what they do.
Yeah. It's like the Samsung thing, isn't it? Your phones don't do well. The fridge freezers are doing well. The ovens are doing well. The TVs are doing well. They've got that backup, haven't they? They can invest a shed load of money into other projects to try different things without having to worry about it making a loss or being a success, because they've got other, you know, other fingers in other pies.
So speaking of Amazon, honestly, how many people have really thought about getting one of their internet connected fridges so they can look at porn while they're getting ice cream?
You can do that. I just bought a new fridge today. He's having a look at porn and my fridge.
See, this is why I'm looking at Samsung for whenever I get a new fridge.
God, tell my wife she made a very bad decision.
Samsung internet fridge.
Shove that on my wish list.
Yeah, there have been incidents where the fridge is on display in big stores here in the United States. Someone's gone in and loaded up the screen with porn websites.
Let me just check my fridge. Give me porn. That's spinach. No, it's not going to work. No,
it's not the same.
No, it's not going to work.
But you got to start somewhere.
I really hope, Paul, that your Apple TV in the living room heard what you said then.
Oh, God. Oh, God. So when I walk out tonight, the wife gives me a wry smile and goes, yes, interesting. It's okay, because you know, Jeff is here. She'll go, Jeff corrupting you, wasn't it?
Yeah, just I'll talk with her. Jeff. It'll be okay.
Yeah. I'm going to get a T-shirt made that says, blame Jeff.
I think you absolutely should.
This fridge is amazing, by the way. It has three internal cameras, so you can look at your food on your phone.
I never have food in my fridge.
Okay, well, now you can look at the beer from your phone.
Yeah. Oh, this is amazing. All the food you love in one place. Well, yes, Samsung, that is what a fridge is. Okay.
It's called Bixby.
I don't think it has Bixby, but it has calendars and weather on your fridge, because otherwise you wouldn't know the weather.
Well, it's cold inside. And,
yeah.
Nope, that's just the fridge.
A 21.5-inch touch screen. Oh, my God. God, and it can mirror your Samsung smart TV on the fridge.
Like Jeff says.
Oh, I need one of these.
So actually, you could watch your porn. You got somewhere cool to put your bits.
There you go.
Quite literally. God. I see. I was going to start this with Jeff, you know. Yeah, amuse us with something really naughty. And Jeff comes up with a great Amazon story, and we end up putting our penises inside fridges at the end of it.
You're welcome.
You need to save us, Rich.
Right, hang on. Here we go. I've got something for you here.
Where are your testicles? Not in the fridge.
Ladies and gentlemen, time has been called on the Microsoft Kinect.
Oh, it has.
It is no more. There will be no more produced.
Do you know what? This is one day after my daughter asked me to buy a new Kinect.
They're ever so cheap now, believe it or not. Now's a good time to buy one.
18 quid in CX right now.
There you go. And now you know why. Because there'll never be any more. The fastest selling technology product of all time.
Of course. Yes, I have.
On launch.
I have the original. Why?
Yeah.
What was the point?
Right, it could have been amazing. It could have been just so unbelievably good. Do you remember like the early videos they showed it off with, where they showed
the small boy?
Oh, the whole family, and you had the kid, and he stood in front of the Xbox, and it was like, "Hello, Brian, you want to play your skateboard games?" "Yeah, I do." And it loaded his skateboard game, and then he showed the Xbox's skateboard, and it put his skateboard in the game, and it was amazing, and it did none of that. And it really wasn't very good. There were 9 games for it, 8 of which were exercise workout things. And that was it. And then they brought out a second one for no reason whatsoever. I don't even know if there are any Xbox One Kinect games.
Oh, there's only one Xbox. The only good Xbox Kinect game I've ever played is Sonic Free Riders. Which is
do you have to like run around the house and tumble over the furniture?
No, it's like a hologram. It's like a hologram type skateboard game, and you can like jump when it tells you to jump, and it's bullshit. I've got
connected. Oh, you could have got There is the Just Dance 2017 for the Xbox One.
I'll put it this way. I was doing a thing the other day where I've got an Xbox One now. I was putting on, I was on CEX and it's like, you can sell games. I'll put Kinect Adventures on there and it, we'll give you 1p for it, they said.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yep, that's the Kinect dead.
Mind you, CEX will give you 1p for most games, though.
They will, they're bosses.
So don't worry about that. But yeah, that's it. The end of the Kinect. We barely knew it. It was no good for much. We only wanted a lightsaber game. They couldn't deliver that very well.
Yeah, I had the Force Unleashed.
Yeah. And now it's gone. Much like many other Microsoft products from the last decade or so.
Won't we have it forever, though? Because isn't the Kinect in the iPhone X? Isn't that what that is?
No, well, in the sense that the iPhone X has a little projector of little infrared dots that it can use to see its you, and the Kinect had a system of projecting infrared dots into the room, which makes for a really good scene in, was it Paranormal Activity 3?
Yeah.
Or something like that. But apart from that, no.
It's the best technology. The best technology remains in multiple devices, doesn't it, including the new iPhone X.
So how many original Kinect owners do we have on this panel? Me being one.
Nope.
Rich?
I never even bought an Xbox ever.
The only good thing you could do with it is raise your hand and swipe. That was quite cool. Where you could swipe screens. That looked cool. When people came around, you're like, so effing amazing, and then it lasted for like 3 days. And you're like, yeah, I look like a real twat.
No, I'm ashamed to say that I've got a 360 that's boxed up. The last time that was turned on was the day before my daughter was born, and I've not had a chance to play a console since that day.
Oh my god!
Wow.
What do you do with your days?
Chase one of the kids around, read books, play Roblox or various other My Little Pony Barbie type games. That's what I have to do when I'm not at work.
Yeah, I went through that phase. I've now got a teenager who doesn't give a toss if I live or die, really. It's like, what are you doing here? Why are you here?
I'm sure the days of being able to play the console will return at some point.
Once your internet fridge is empty, your kid will care.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get an hour of dedicated Xbox One play between 6 and 7 every evening, and it gets cut off dead on 7. Doesn't matter if you're in the middle of Titanfall 2 or you're having a great run on Modern Warfare and all that sort of thing. At 7 o'clock, no, you're off. And I get that.
Emeroid Farm starting. Get the Xbox off.
Oh, I love it. I love my Xbox. Rich will tell you different.
No, it's fine. You enjoy your Xbox. That's brilliant.
It's my Xbox.
I mean, I wouldn't buy one, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't enjoy it just because you made the wrong choice. That's all right.
PS4, bitch.
Yeah. Hey, look, I haven't bought a PS4 game for ages now.
Because Allison's always on it.
No, not anymore. She's played Prison Architect, and now she's just taking a break.
Oh, God, yes. So even though you don't actually... She's not on it. You don't use it at all.
Not really. I mean, it's there. It's
the Switch.
Well, yeah, there's the Switch. And the PS4 is still, if anything, the best media player in the house. So it's, you know, it's what we're watching Stranger Things on, etc. But, you know, that's the beauty of the Switch. It's portable within the house. You sit and play it while you sat on the sofa and someone else can watch TV.
Oh, you have a life, you bastard.
I don't have a life. That's my life. I just described my entire life was sitting on the sofa playing Switch, watching
Netflix.
That
sounds amazing.
That's it. Well, look, you had kids. That's your fault. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay, so now you're my spirit animal.
Thank you. Thank you.
There's still Jeff from me. That's all I've got left.
Okay, I'll have two spirit animals.
But no, it was a stupid thing. The Kinect, like, I remember like when the Wii came out, and I remember perusing websites looking for stock and trying to get a Wii, and it was good for like 2 weeks, maybe, if that. And it's still plugged in. And if I'm really bored or really drunk, I'll play Wii Bowling. But that motion stuff is, it's, gaming is a personal thing. I think a controller, a man and his console, and a controller just playing a game is just what you want to do, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be a Switch or a Xbox or a PS4, you just want to do your manly thing.
Absolutely.
So, it's connected.
I don't need a video game controller for that.
Well, Jeff Peripherals, that's the title for the show tonight. There we go. All sorted.
But see, no. I think that, you know, the underlying idea behind the Kinect was probably sound. They just never got the game support.
No, and didn't.
That's with it, with an external piece of hardware on a console, that's what you've got to do. And look, these things, they've always been add-ons for consoles, and they've always failed. There's not a single.
And they also assume, that us in the UK had the same size living rooms as people in the US.
Yeah. Or the, you know, which I mean, I've been in some pretty small apartments in the US as well. It's just the whole, let's be 12 feet back from the TV. And so yeah, you sat pressed up against the wall, like, right, what do we do now? Just, of course, there's so no room.
The first thing I bought for my Kinect was an add-on that I've still got it somewhere. That
you put over the lens cover. Yeah.
Yeah, it made it think the room was smaller.
Yeah, I think a lot of people got a lot of use out of those.
Yeah.
But they I'm seeing now on FIFA 14 had Kinect support. I have no idea what it did.
Oh, God.
But I don't know. I just don't see it improving your gaming experience, really.
Well, I'm sad to see the Kinect die without Jeff's support. Interactive Jeff.
Sorry.
I will write in anger to Microsoft and say, you missed a trick.
They totally missed an opportunity here.
Oh God, you can touch Jeff. Oh no! Oh God, it's all going wrong. It's all going wrong. Shut up.
Yeah, it's gone wrong only because they didn't make the game.
Yeah, I know. I know they do.
I think it suffered from. So I keep dragging us back to it. I think it suffered from doing things that we thought we'd like it to do, but then don't in real life, like video chat in your living room.
Yeah, and looking like a twat.
Yeah, basically.
Do you know the thing the Xbox did is every time you finished a game, it showed you a video of you playing on the Kinect.
That I absolutely hated that beyond all measure. Why would you do that? Why? Here's what you look like playing this game. You look a twat. Like, well, I'm not going to play the game again. Thank you for that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just done with it straight away. That was worse than when the Wii Fit made everybody's kids fat.
Oh God. I plugged the Wii Fit in the other day, and it said, you've not been here for 3,792 days.
Your Wii Fit says my kid's fat. Now the fat on your kid says your kid's fat. That's what you want us to do, said Nintendo.
Oh, that was a bad idea. I thought that would... Oh, no, what was that thing? Oh, God, what do they have? What was the PlayStation 2 one?
The move camera.
Yeah, we had to like kind of go whoa with balls. Whoa.
I've been looking at getting one of those because I think they're about 10 pence now.
They are.
Like,
I can't remember the game, but I thought I was getting fit and I was just being an idiot. Oh, what was it? Oh God,
I'm looking up now. It's going to take me a second.
It was the PlayStation Eye.
The iToy camera. You can get one on from CEX for 50 pence.
Wow.
I paid like proper money for that.
But that's with no game. I think it's probably a pound with a game. Let's see if they've got the one with a game. I can't actually know. Maybe
I got a PS2 sitting over here. I'll get another one. No, movement is not for us guys anyway. It's not for anyone.
That level of movement, just barely visible button presses, that's what gaming's for. Nothing else.
It's all about thumbs.
Absolutely.
Said Jeffrey.
Well, yeah.
It's another t-shirt, isn't it? It's all about the thumbs, says Jeffrey.
That's right.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
There's a reason why these are opposable.
Exactly.
Easily removable. Oh, God. Oh, God. Do I have to go to the sponsor on this, do I?
Well, you may not have a sponsor anymore.
You and Rank and I am so sorry. So sorry. I'll send you an email after this saying I'm so sorry. I'm not editing this, so you can screw it. This show and all of the others is provided by UK2. We love them. I love them more than you ever know. Why? Because I use them. I'm a WordPress developer. Their cPanel stuff's great. Their hosting is great. Their support is great. They're just great. They're really lovely guys. I kind of get a little bit of a little bit of help from them because they know who I am. You know, this face is my passport. You know, if Wrighty says his website isn't working, they will move heaven and earth. They'll do the same for you. They are the best. And at the moment, I think they're doing some deals as well. So get on over to uk2.net and also log in through our website. So go to the support us page at btn.com, britishnetwork.com/uk2. Let them know that you came from us. Use the discount code, so VPN, VPS, all that sort of thing, and hosting and everything. And just if you really, really want to, send them a little tweet saying, I love UK2 supporting BTN. Because without this, I was talking to my wife the other day. She's going, hey, you have to do your own podcast network. I was like, you can't because it costs a bloody fortune to broadcast and bandwidth and that sort of stuff. So without them, without the live servers, I know we're not using them tonight or anything like that. But generally, when you're in the hosting seat, they pick up all the bandwidth. And you can go and watch UK2, have all the shows from day one. So all the Bagel Tech shows, everything. Go and have a listen. You can see what we look like when we were young and less, what would you say? Less gray, less
distinguished.
Oh, yeah, that'll do. Remember, Jeff when he was blonde, me when I was brown, Chris when he had hair, and Rich.
I'm still quite young looking. It's okay. You can say it. It's fine.
You.
Yeah.
I hate you. Anyway. Oh God, let's move on to the cool things. Do it, camps, cool thing, my man.
Okay, here we go. Ta-do. There we are. So as I mentioned earlier on, last week I was in Disneyland Paris.
I don't like you.
Now I know this has been and Paul, I think you picked this as a pick a couple of years ago maybe.
This is what we're buddies.
Exactly. I think it's a good time as a bit of a reminder. If there's anybody going to Disneyland Paris, or indeed, I think certainly the Disneyland parks in America, whether it's at Tokyo and places like that, I'm not 100% sure, but I'd be amazed if not. So the PhotoPass Plus. So when people go to theme parks, and particularly Disney, you know, you're going to have all your character meets. You go on your theme park rides and you go past the camera and it snaps your picture, and then you get to the end and they charge you like £15 per picture or something ridiculous like that. And before you know it, after a few days in somewhere like Disney with kids and you've got your family pictures, you could easily rack up a couple of hundred pounds or euros or dollars in terms of all these pictures that you want to capture. So what Disney have done is you can buy the PhotoPass Plus. You get if you're watching on camera on the video, I'll just hold it up. You get a little lanyard with a card and a barcode on there, or a couple of like key fob passes, and you walk up to the official Disney photographers. You have your picture taken with Snow White or the rest of the Disney gang, Mickey Mouse and all them lot, and the photographer snaps away. They take all the pictures, and then they just scan your barcode on your card. What you can then do is access either through an app on your phone or download all of the high-res images back to your laptop or your PC or anything when you get back home, and you've got the lot. So the PhotoPass Plus cost me €70. And for that €70, we've walked away with 128 of the images from the Disney photographers. So we've got the family ones in front of the castle, the princesses, all of the Disney villains and characters as well. We've got the lot. So if you're visiting a park and you're likely to have character meets and all the from like Buzz Lightyear ride and Pirates of the Caribbean, we've got every single one of the images for €70.
Yeah, it's my original one there, Camps.
Yeah.
So all that time ago.
Exactly.
It's amazing. Because you don't want to think about it, do you? You know,
no.
And you haven't got to queue up at the stall at the end either.
No.
You haven't got to go, what's my photo? You get it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, my daughter had pictures taken with, she had pictures taken with all the princesses. If I'd have bought every single one of them, it'd have easily racked up a couple of €100. Whereas now I've got them all, I can print for my heart's content.
And how many princesses did you get a picture with?
Just the two this time. But I got a great picture with Jack Skellington and another one with Buzz Lightyear, so I'm happy with them.
Good man. And it's an awesome pick. It is, you know, it sounds expensive from the start, but if you're going somewhere like Disneyland, you want to capture that, and yeah. You're going around and you don't want to sit there taking pictures with your phone and everything. You can't do it on the rides. It takes the hassle away.
You get all the high-res images. It's a great set of photos. And like I say, I've got every single one now. Even pictures that you can't capture. So as you're walking in to see Mickey Mouse, and generally as the dad, you're at the back of the queue. The kids go first, then the wife goes, and then I'm at the back. So I don't see the faces of the kids walking into the room and seeing Mickey, whereas the photographers do. They snap away, and I think we've got something like 12 images or something like that of them walking in and meeting Mickey. So, yeah, I've walked away with 128 images, and they're all mine. So.
Does it expire? Does it expire time on iPad?
The pass lasts for 10 days. So if from the day, I'm sure if in somewhere like Florida, Anaheim, places like that, where you're likely to go for a longer period, but the Paris one, from the minute you activate it, it's live for 10 days, and then the images sit on their servers for 1 year unless you delete it, unless you instruct it to be deleted from that point.
Yeah. And if you're into getting the pass, then you've got to download them anyway, aren't you?
So. Yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
That's very cool. I just remember my dad complaining when we went to the Florida one, that he viewed the whole holiday through the viewfinder of a video camera. You know, yeah. And the fact that you just don't have to worry about that anymore.
It just takes it away. You come home, you put the code into the website, and every memory you've got is done, so you can just enjoy your time at the park. It's great.
Remind me at some point to put a compilation clip together of the home movie from that trip, because I was 15 at the time. And my reaction to everything is, oh. everything, the entire thing.
I want to see this best clip.
What was I impressed with? Nothing. I was 15. I was just miserable the entire time. It's quite something. So, yeah, I've got a 3-hour tape of me in the happiest place on earth, the most miserable human being alive. It's brilliant.
I'll pay to see that. Well, following up to your misery, Rich, I think I know what your cool thing is, because you've been playing all day.
Well, not enough of the day, thank you Amazon Delivery. As I said at the beginning of the show, Super Mario Odyssey came out today.
How is it?
Oh, it's so very good.
The reviews have been really good.
Yeah. At this point, I've only played for a couple of hours, so how in depth can you go? It's a classic Mario story. Bowser's kidnapped Princess Peach. You've got to go and get her back.
Oh, again? God,
you know, it's you'd think they'd have had enough of this by now. But what you don't really need any more motivation or reason for playing it than that. On this one, the special sort of game mechanic they've put in is this character Cappy. So you can do all sorts of stuff with your hat, including sort of taking control of other life forms and objects throughout the game world. I've been a T-Rex already, which is brilliant, and loads of other things. This is one that's going to take a long time to complete and get through, and we'll always come back to. There's multiplayer elements, so it's a co-op player game as well, where one of you is Cappy and the other is Mario. But I've yet to get into that. There are some motion controls which are spot on and really well done. So if you've got a throwing the hat motion with the Joy-Con and stuff, it's everything a Mario game should be based on what I've seen so far. It's just really very, very good. And it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, my daughter saves up enough money, and she said, I know how much money is my bank account, and I can put half towards the Disney holiday next year and the other half towards the Switch. What should I do, Dad? And I'm like, my Switch.
You're a good dad.
Yeah. I don't know if Mum agrees, but she's buying Switch.
This is one of those games that it's kind of worth getting the Switch for. This is going to sell a lot of consoles over Christmas.
Yeah, no, it's that kind of thing. I think the thing with the Switch is that the fact that you can dock it in and play it on your TV, and you can undock it and just play it at your leisure. Obviously,
absolutely.
As a man past 40, I see that as a very attractive thing for a 14-year-old girl. And my daughter, she says that's a very attractive thing. It's just who fights hard enough to get to play with it when we get one.
Exactly. But the Mario Switch bundle is available on Amazon right now. You can have it by tomorrow morning for just $329.
It's not hard to get a Switch now, then.
Sorry?
It's not hard to get a Switch now, then.
No, not at all. Hasn't been for a little while.
Oh, bollocks, Christmas sword. Damn it.
Easy as pie. I'm just looking now on Amazon, and yeah, basically all of their packages are in with Prime delivery.
Okay. Remind me in future days, don't do big shows on payday.
Okay.
Because, no, I'm going to resist. You
get the red Joy-Cons with it as well, which I might just have to go and buy separately. They continue doing their awesome stuff with this game. So sorry, everybody. But
this is so bad.
Yeah, I know.
I want it so bad. I sent an email today to Christina Warren, who's selling her 3DS that she's going to sign, and I might buy it off her. You know, Christina Warren from Microsoft. You probably don't know who she is. But anyway, pretty famous tech girl, and she's selling her 3DS XL, and she's going to sign it. And I said, I'll buy that off from you just because you're gorgeous and I want to buy it. And I want a 3DS XL.
Oh, if you want a 3DS XL, you want one of the new Famicom ones that have come out.
Oh, don't. Oh, God, what are you? You're money sucking.
I'm going to share this pain with you then, because it's killing me as well. But more so, look, it's just a normal 3DS. There's nothing special about it, but it looks like a SNES when you open it up.
Don't do this.
You have more of a justification to get one than me, because you don't currently have one. For me, it's just a different looking version of exactly what I've already got. I can't buy that unless mine breaks. They've knocked a tenner off it. It's $169.99.
Shut up.
Yeah, the new Nintendo 3DS XL SNES edition. I'll put a little link for you in the chat room there, so you can look at it.
We're going to fall out.
And they have announced they're doing a US-based different SNES version as well.
To me, no,
I know. Don't you want that so much? Oh, yeah, so
that is so not fair.
Yeah,
no, that is not.
I think Nintendo are gonna own this Christmas as far as gaming goes. If I don't know what else they could do, you know, this is just one of the best lineups of hardware and software we've seen for a very long time.
And it's a good job with friends, because I'd fall out with you a lot over that.
I don't have one of these SNES things. I'm just showing it to you so you can get one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Jeffrey, Save me for this madness, please.
All right. I'll go with something that's family friendly and what? Is a lot less expensive. So Lego Ideas Women of NASA kit gets released on November 1st. And this is one of those kits that I was really hoping was going to get selected. And sure enough, it was. So it has Margaret Hamilton. She's the woman that wrote the code for the Apollo guidance computer system.
Yeah.
So she's the person that ultimately got astronauts from Earth to the moon and then back safely. And then there's Nancy Grace Roman, who was part of the Hubble Space Telescope project. And then Sally Ride and Mae Jemison, both space shuttle astronauts.
Got the shuttle on there.
Yeah, so you get all of them as minifigures, plus you get these little builds that go along with them. So you build a mini space shuttle, and you build a mini Hubble telescope, and then for Margaret Hamilton, you get to build like part of her lab. And what they did was they modeled hers off of this famous photo of her standing beside a printout of the code for the Apollo guidance system, which was pretty much as tall as she was.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
It's really cool. So it's $24.99 US. So I'm assuming around the same for you guys, a little bit less.
No, average £24.99, guaranteed. Jeff, I know my wife will allow this, but can I get a ticket to the States and we'll just play Lego
for a day? Yeah, come on over.
Yeah, naked.
Gosh, I've never really looked at this Lego Ideas thing. This is fantastic.
Oh, they're brilliant. Jeff is the king of Lego.
And I won that case from 7.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 80 quid, but it's a really nice Lego model.
Oh, Jeff, did you get the Millennium Falcon?
No, I did not. First, it was sold out. Second, I don't know where I would put it. Like, I seriously have no idea where I'd put it. Yeah, it's really big. I mean, it's scale to minifigures. So, you know, it's like this wide. And then finally, $800 for a single Lego kit. I just can't bring myself to do that right now.
Well, that's
a lot of money.
Well, if you let me come over, Jeff, I'll bring the Millennium Falcon.
All right, come on over.
Okay, we're sorted. As I say to the wife, just going over to Jeff for a little bit. She'll be like, say hello.
But she can come along.
Oh!
Have her bring the camera.
Saucy! Oh, that's a good thing to end on, isn't it? A little bit of love.
A little bit of love. That's right. Love.
So the last thing I need to do is know where you guys are. I know where you are, but everyone might not know where you are. Camps, where are you, my sir?
You can get me at Camping UK on Twitter. You can find me in the Slack room, and I've got a couple more reviews to get up onto the British Tech Network site probably over the next week or so. We've been on a holiday. I'm a bit behind on some stuff. So over the next week, once I get settled back into work, I'll get cracking and get them posted.
Yeah, good man. No, I've been a bit behind. We've got some giveaways and stuff coming up soon as well, haven't we?
So, we have.
Yeah, so stay tuned to British Tech. Some free stuff coming your way just for being a BTN listener. Love it. Mr. Richard Smith.
Yes.
I don't know what to ask you now.
I'm simply syndicated.
Well, yeah, I know that bit, but
it's all right.
Interesting things coming up, aren't there?
Yeah. So, I mean, look, we just cancelled a couple of shows, but to replace them with new shows of that topic. So it's fine. There'll be another tech show with me and Paul and everything. So.
Yeah, you must be mad. You asked me back.
Yeah, I know. So it's, you know, it's all fine. Don't worry. But there's lots of other stuff there still. So go and check all that out. What do we do now?
And everything.
Everything. We're still going to have a live calling show on Saturday nights. Damn, I suppose we've got another one of those to do tomorrow now, I think about it. Yeah, so that's the thing. And then the Discovery After Show is going strong. I was on that a couple of weeks ago as well. So,
How you find Discovery?
I bloody love that show.
I bloody love that show.
It's I great. Have not a bad word to say against it. Not a single criticism, which worries me, but you know, that's I think I'm still in the maybe in the honeymoon period of there is Star Trek on television again. That's exactly. Amazing. And the added one of, and it's not shit.
It's not, it's really good.
So you know, I keep watching it thinking it didn't have to be this good. You didn't have to put this much work into it. I would have watched whatever, but thank you for doing this.
And a girl called Michael doesn't seem that weird.
I never flinched. And if anything, it's given us another way to find out people you just need to cut off your Facebook friends.
I can't ask you because Jeff's not seen it. I need to ask you about what happened this week, about the choosing someone over someone else. But I'll do that offline.
Okay.
Oh, Jeffrey, the lady's favorite, or as I said, my wife's favorite.
And that's good enough for me.
Where can we find you if not in our dreams?
All right. Well, you can find me over at macobserver.com, and you can find me on gobs of podcasts, including this and Mac Observer's Daily Observations and the iOS show. And you can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm JGam at both places. And then, of course, in your dreams.
Oh, good stuff. Oh, give me a minute. Oh, yeah, that's good. You find me at Paul on Twitter over at BritishTechNetwork.com. In the old review with Cam, so we get round to some good stuff coming to British Tech Network, actually. Our subscriptions are coming in soon. New stuff. Exclusive stuff, all things that BTN you're going to love. And when I run by the boys this week, even more good stuff coming. And we will see you soon. Thank you for coming out. Thank you to the boys, Camps, Jeff, and Rich. We'll see you all next week. Ta-ta.